began, the sessions that became legend. Phil gathered around him the best musicians and singers he could find. His players include Hal Blaine on drums, Leon Russell on piano, Neo Temple and Clint Campbell on guitars, and his great arranger, Jack Nitzsche, on percussion. Yeah, you know, it just occurred to me, also on percussion, was this kid named Sonny Bono. He used to bring his girlfriend Cher along to sing background vocals. I always wondered what happened to them, but anyways, Hal Blaine described it. Phil had the magic wand and sprinkled fairy dust on us all. Phil used to book his sessions on Friday nights, so they became like end-of-the-week parties. And soon, Studio A at Gold Star was the place everyone wanted to be to touch the magic Phil was making. He did things no other producer dared. To create the sound, he sometimes used a dozen or more musicians playing at the same time. I mean, they'd be playing like three or four pianos, at least three or four guitars, two Fender basses, and sometimes between 8 and 10 people playing things like castanets, shakers, jingle bells, bongos, kumbas, slapsticks, tambourines, and any other percussion gadgets he could find. He did it all in a four-track studio where the only special effect they had was echo. But I'll tell you, way back then, it wasn't long before his gang of musicians became known as the Wrecking Crew. The Wrecking Crew worked spontaneously and leisurely in their t-shirts and jeans. You don't know how we got that name. It came from old-time musicians who thought these guys were wrecking the industry. But they soon became the envy of the music business. Phil also seemed to have the knack for finding the right singers. Singers that captured the pulse of what teenagers were feeling everywhere. And one of the singers that he discovered was the daughter of a Pentecostal minister. She began singing gospel in her father's church and soon was singing lead with a group called The Blossoms. Then Phil heard her. Within weeks, she signed to Philly's Records, Phil's record company, changed her name from Right to Love, and was soon singing leads and backgrounds on almost every record that Phil made thereafter. Now, he recorded her as a Crystal, he recorded her as Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans, and finally, as the one and only Darlene Love.
Thank you.
traditional Christmas carols. But he also decided he wanted to do one original song. Bill wrote with various songwriters, and in particular, he wrote with three husband and wife teams. They were the songwriters who defined the times and helped carve the way for the present. He wrote with Carole King and Jerry Goffin. He wrote with Barry Mann and Cynthia Wild. And he wrote with Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich. During the making of this album, he was working with Jeff and Ellie. So he decided to...
Oh,
after the queen of rock and roll. She started out singing with her sister and her cousin as the Darling Sisters on the streets of New York City and hanging out in recording studios. And soon, they were dancing at the Ferment Lounge. And on stage at the Brooklyn Fox as current day's dancing girls. One day, during an audition at Mirror Sound Studios, Phil heard a voice. He knew right then and there that that was the voice he'd been looking for. The rest is rock and roll history. Miss Ronnie Spector.
You can make it, you can fly, and we just to say that I'm There's no words to describe the voices of Darlene Love. On behalf of all of us here at the Bottom Line, we'd like to wish you the merriest of Christmases and the happiest of New Year's. And we'd like to thank you for letting us spend this Christmas with you.
Right.
time. Straighten the damn guitar. Jimmy? I just got back from a lovely trip across the Milky Way. I'm never gonna finish this.